Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is the first reading from Acts chapter 9, the account of the conversion of St. Paul. And if you had never heard of Paul's former life, and had only read the letters in which he so eloquently shares the gospel with us, and not read the parts where he talks about his former life, like we just read in Galatians chapter 1, his backstory would be quite surprising to you. Would anybody have guessed that this is how this man got to where he is? That he was formerly a persecutor of the church, but then God used him, even him, to spread the gospel throughout so much of the world and to write so much of our New Testament through his letters? Would anybody have guessed that that's where Paul came from? That he started out breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of Jesus? Nobody would have guessed that. Nobody would have planned that this is going to be the guy. This is going to be the guy that's going to take the gospel into all the world. This is something that could only come from the will of God. This is something that only could come from the power of God to bring this about. We would never have planned this. And according to our own sinful human nature, if we were Paul, maybe we would try to cover up that past. Pretend like it didn't happen. We do this for ourselves sometimes. I know that I received the forgiveness of sins. I know that there are things in my past that I wish I hadn't done, but maybe let's just not talk about those things. Maybe let's pretend like they never happened. But you see that Paul doesn't do that himself. He talks about his former life persecuting the church, like we heard in our epistle reading from Galatians chapter 1. Or in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he talks about his former life in Judaism where he persecuted the church. Why does he do this? He doesn't dwell on it. He doesn't want to brag about it like it makes him sound any better. It doesn't make him sound any better. Why does he talk about these things? He talks about it because it glorifies God. This is what Paul says about himself in 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. He considers himself to be the foremost sinner, the chief of sinners, like we just sung. And why does he dwell on this? Why does he refer to himself as the foremost of sinners? Because when he shares this, it shows just how great the power of God is. It shows just how great the mercy and love and forgiveness of God is. That God would call even Saul. That God would forgive even his sin of shedding blood of Christians. That is how great the mercy and grace and forgiveness of God is as well. And that's our mentality as well. Not trying to pretend like we're not sinners. What do we call ourselves each and every Sunday? I, a poor, miserable sinner. We don't try to shy away from it. We say, that's what I am, but this is what Christ has done for me. He loves me. He forgives me. He shed his own blood to wash away my sin. Yes, I am a sinner, but Christ forgives that sin, and he makes me righteous through his own blood. That's the reality for Paul. That's the reality for you. That's the reality of the gospel that Paul proclaimed. And that power that comes through that word is still working today. The power of God that converted hard-hearted Saul is still working on us today. The Holy Spirit turning our hearts toward God, strengthening our faith, giving us faith each and every day of our lives. And that's the message that our text has for us today on this day, the conversion of St. Paul. That the power of God converted Paul to proclaim the gospel of God. The power of God converted Paul to proclaim the gospel of God, because that's the only way it could be. It could only be through the power of God. And this power comes not because of the men who preach it, not because of us or anything about us. It comes because it's God's gospel. That power of God could only come through the gospel of God. But let's consider once again the amazing power of Christ who converted Paul on that day in Acts chapter 9. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. What was Paul's state when Jesus converted him? He was so hardened against Christianity. So hardened against Christianity, he was actively in the process of going on his way to persecute Christians. It's not like he was having regrets, and he started doing some research about Christianity, and he was kind of drifting toward that way, and Jesus kind of just gave the final push. That's not the state Paul was in. He was actively contrary to God's will. He was actively on his way to go persecute Christians. And it's at that point in his life that Jesus confronts him, stands face to face with him, gives his word, and converts Paul through his word. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Paul really gets shaken up here a little bit by Jesus. He's so hardened on his path against Christianity that Jesus comes to him face to face, speaks his word, and turns him. Shakes him up a little bit too, even causing him to be blind. Because sometimes that's what we need in our hardened stubbornness against God. And that's what we receive each and every day when we receive the word of Jesus. The word of Jesus is always calling us to repentance, always calling us to faith in Christ, just like Jesus was calling Paul on that day. And the irony of all of this is that moment when Paul was blind for 3 days, he was seeing more clearly than he ever had at that point. Because up to that point, he was blind to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. But at that moment when he was blinded, he was actually seeing Jesus for who he truly is, the Son of God. That's the message Jesus was bringing him toward. Would anybody have ever expected this? Could this have ever been brought about by anything other than the power of God? Absolutely not. Ananias, the man that Jesus sent to Paul, even he didn't think that this was possible. Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." Ananias thought it even seemed a little bit far-fetched that this man, really, this guy is the one that is converted? This man is really the one that is God's chosen instrument at this time? But though we might not believe it, though we might ask God, "Seriously? This one?" God doesn't argue with Ananias. He simply just asserts again what he had already said. "Go, for he is my chosen instrument. Don't have any doubts about it. Don't question what I'm saying. Go, because he's my chosen instrument." And that really drives home this point. Is Saul who we would have chosen? Is Saul who we would have expected? Is it because of anything about him that God chose him? No. The sole factor is that he was chosen by God to carry the gospel. The sole fact is that he was chosen to believe in Christ, and that's the same thing for each and every one of us. Did God call you because of how special you were? Because you're just the type of person that would believe in God. Because you're generally a good person, so you essentially deserved to be called by God. That's sometimes how we end up thinking. And when we think that way, we're giving ourselves too much credit. The sole reason we believe, the sole reason we have faith at all, is because we were chosen by God and called by the gospel and enlightened by the Holy Spirit, nothing else. Not by our own works, not because of anything about us, only because of the call of God and the word of God. And then how is Saul saved? He receives the word of Jesus, and he receives baptism. Ananias goes and lays his hand on him. He receives the Holy Spirit, and he is baptized. And isn't it the same with us today? We receive the gospel. We receive salvation with these same gifts that Jesus still gives to his church today. The word of Christ, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. Sometimes we overlook these things. We think that they're not so miraculous, not so special. But it's those same miraculous gifts that God gave to Saul on that day that he continues to give us. That Jesus does directly speak to us face to face through his word in the Holy Scriptures. And that Jesus actually does join himself to us in holy baptism. And that Jesus really, physically is present with us in the Lord's Supper. And that he gives himself to us in the body and blood, given in with and under the bread and wine. We shouldn't be thinking that these things are less miraculous, less exciting. These things are still the ways God comes to us like he did to Paul on that day. And this is something that could only happen through the power of God. We look at somebody like Saul and think, there's no way that this person could ever believe. There's no way somebody could ever change his heart. You maybe look at people in your life or just look out at society in general and think the same thing as well. There's no way God could ever change this person's heart. There's no way this person could ever believe. There's no way that this whole country could ever believe again. It seems like people are coming further and further and further away from God, so there's no way they could ever be drawn back to God. Sometimes we get a little despairing. A little dismissive of the power of God. And it's true that if it was up to us, in our own power, in our own human opinions, we would be powerless. We wouldn't be able to do anything, either to convert our friends and family or convert a whole nation. By ourselves, by our own power, nothing we could do. We have to remember that we're not by ourselves. We're not working according to man's power. We're working according to God's power. By ourselves, we might be powerless, but we have to remember that God is working through his word. God is working through his spirit, and that same spirit, that same word that converted Paul is working on us today, is working through the preaching of the church. Breaking down the stony hearts of men through the preaching of the law and comforting those who are broken with the promise of the forgiveness of sins that come through the gospel of the Lord. And sometimes when we look at others and think, it doesn't make any sense that they would ever believe, we, on the flip side, give ourselves too much credit. It does make sense that I would believe because I'm generally a good person. I'm somebody who's seeking God. It makes sense that God would want me on his team. But this misses the fact that all of us are powerless to come to God on our own. St. Paul reminds us of this in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, 1, he says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." Before you came to faith, what was your state? Dead. Powerless to come to God, because dead people can't really do anything at all. Is it that I made a decision to come to Jesus Christ? No. God chose me, called me by the gospel. And then St. Paul goes on in Ephesians 2:12, "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That's our state before we come to faith. That's our state without the Holy Spirit, dead in our trespasses and sins, having no hope and without God in the world. That's where we are without our own power. The fact that any of us believe at all, the fact that anyone calls upon the name of Christ today in this church or in any other church is a miracle of the Holy Spirit, on the same level as the conversion of St. Paul. This is what we talk about in the third article of the Creed in Luther's Small Catechism. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. By myself, I can't do anything. I can't believe. I can't make a decision for Jesus Christ or come to him by my own power. It has to be only through the Holy Spirit enlightening my heart that I come to faith in Christ. The Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. The fact that God is still working through his church and bringing all of us to faith is a miracle, just like it's a wonderful miracle that God converted St. Paul so many years ago. Sometimes when we hear an amazing conversion story like St. Paul, we maybe tend to think, man, that sounds exciting. That sounds miraculous. My conversion is so boring. Maybe I was baptized as a baby. Maybe I grew up in the church. Coming to church every Sunday, it sounds so ordinary. It sounds maybe even a little boring. But that's not the way we should think about it. We should think about it as still miraculous. As miraculous as that amazing conversion story of St. Paul, the same miracles are happening each and every day in the church. The miracle that Christ speaks to us through his word. The miracle that he comes to us and joins us to himself in the waters of holy baptism. The miracle that he comes to us on the altar and feeds us with his body and blood. These things are by no means ordinary, by no means boring, even if we've grown up with them our whole lives. If we start thinking they're ordinary and boring, that's our fault, not God's fault. We should see these things for the miracle and blessing they truly are. It's not man's gospel, it's God's gospel. As St. Paul said in Galatians 1, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel, for I did not receive it as from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." If it was by our power, we couldn't do anything. It's only by God's power that he can convert in the hearts of men and give us the forgiveness of sins. And this only makes sense because of what the content of the gospel is, that God came to earth to be one of us in Jesus Christ our Lord, like we celebrated on Christmas. That God shed his own blood for us to forgive our sins. That he rose from the dead, crushing death under his feet forever. That he promises to bring us home to himself and raise us up from the dead. This isn't something that we could ever just make up for ourselves. It's greater than we could ever imagine. This is only something that could be revealed to us by God, given to us by God. And may this gospel continue to be preached among us until the day when Christ comes again. May this word of Christ continue to work on us, giving us the Holy Spirit through the word to give us faith, strengthen our faith, and bring us home to be with Jesus forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.